All right, welcome to Speak for Yourself. I'm Jason Whitlock. That's Marcellus Wiley, that dude.
Yes, sir.
Coming up, we'll tell you who's to blame for Antonio Brown's looming departure from Pittsburgh.
And if LeBron and the Lakers would actually be better off missing the playoffs this year. But we start every day with a Whitlock, so I know what you got today. What's up, people?
All right, Marcellus, there was a major Colin Kaepernick news while we were away. His lawyer announced that Kaepernick would like to return to the NFL, saying, quote, absolutely wants to play. He wants to compete at the highest level. This is a competitive young man. Kaepernick's desire to resume his playing career is more enlightening and inspiring than news that he and the league reached a settlement over his collusion grievance. His ambition to play again tells us something about his alleged financial settlement. It wasn't nearly as large as the $60 to $80 million figure speculated by a Bleacher Report Twitter troll. Conventional wisdom says the NFL settled with Cap because the league feared embarrassing and damning information would leak during depositions. Conventional wisdom ignores the possibility that Cap settled because his lawyers knew embarrassing and damning information would leak about their client. Let me give you an example. It's my belief the football establishment told the Associated Press that Kaepernick wanted $20 million to play in the startup Alliance of American Football. Everybody connected to the AAF, from Bill Polian on down, owes their livelihood and reputation to the NFL. How did Cap's AAF salary demand land with the public? Not good for Kaepernick. The news made him sound delusional and irrational. I think people would be shocked to learn the main reason Kaepernick didn't play in the NFL the last 2 years is because his salary demands were nonsensical. Teams chose Nathan Peterman over Kaepernick because the sticker price. Same reason people buy more Honda Accords than Cadillacs. Social media is the enemy of common sense. But over time, the truth wins out. Cap was not going to win a public relations war with the NFL. A team of woke bloggers at Bleacher Report, The Ringer, The Athletic, Deadspin, and a bunch of retired players pandering for retweets and likes on Twitter are no match for the Associated Press. In my opinion, Cap settled primarily because he's been led to believe some team in the NFL is going to give him a starter's job and a starter's salary this year and the opportunity to earn an inflated contract next year. He's getting the same deal as his comrade, Eric Reed, the Carolina safety who parlayed an average 2018 season into a top 10 safety contract this offseason. It's not a coincidence that 6 days before Kaepernick settled, Reed scored a 3-year, $22 million contract from the Panthers. That was the NFL's good faith gesture to the national anthem kneelers. 3 days later, the football establishment shoved Kaepernick towards settling by leaking the AAF news to the Associated Press. Why did the NFL want to settle? I think the informed people within the NFL feel sorry for Kaepernick. He's been used by political activists and others. I also think the league recognizes Cap now has television rating values. The NFL is just a TV show. Initially, it didn't know how to handle the kneeling controversy. Now it just lets the half dozen or so attention whores throw their pregame tantrums without making it a big deal. It makes sense now to write Cap back into the NFL script. Pay his lawyer's fees, give him $15 to $20 million in back wages, and put him on the team. I'm going to be rooting for Cap. Cap is a far better and more interesting quarterback than social justice warrior. All right, joining the desk now is former Pro Bowl wide receiver T.J. Housmanzada. Marcellus, I'll start with you. Obvious question, who won the settlement, Cap or the league?
I'm going to answer that through story. I'm going to answer that through imagery, and then let's just see where this takes us. Here's this case, a heavyweight fight between Cap and the NFL. Ding, 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 right? Tell of the tape, you got Kaepernick, Super Bowl champion appearing quarterback, 2 times NFC championship game, a great player, great talent at one time. At the same time, this is a guy who started to rank at the bottom in terms of some of the statistical categories in his last 2 years. Then you got the NFL, king of all sports, king of all entertainment products on television, but has had their issues in terms of player rights, player issues, et cetera, et cetera. They go out there to fight. And I'm sitting there at home. I gave them my $100. Mayweather, Pacquiao, whatever. 100 plus for this one. I want to see this one. And they go out there and they start duking it out. And then you can see the corner man, Eric Reed, sitting there with Kaepernick. Oh, we got this. We got this. And then getting mad, yelling at the crowd. Hey, Malcolm Jenkins, you sell out. And you know, you ain't with this. You ain't part of this fight. Oh, okay. Then you see NFL. Oh, they lose. Oh, they got an uppercut. What happened to the NFL? They lost a hearing. Oh, this may go. This may go. And then what happens at the end? Boop. Emergency broadcasting system. We're sorry. We will not show any more footage from this fight. As a matter of fact, we will not discuss this fight any further. And then now, they just went to the nightly news. And I'm sitting there like, who won the fight? Have y'all ever been in a settlement? Have you ever been in a courtroom and been a part of a settlement, signed an NDA? I have. I can't say any more about it, but I've signed NDAs before, low value amounts, and some big ones too. I will say this, who won this one? It took me to the place where I was a little discouraged. I certainly felt the sting that a lot of former players and just people who were supporting Kaepernick, the activist, the player, the man, felt, which is, this is a little unsettling in your settlement. You can't discuss it. We don't know what went down. We don't know the details. We don't know what you agreed to. But I did see two things that made me say, maybe the NFL won this one. We all know Big Bank. They'll throw money all the time. And Big Bank doesn't have to be a corporation. I've been in settlements before where I was Big Bank. And all the person wanted was some money. And to me, that money wasn't that much. It sounds like a lot to a lot of people, but it wasn't that much to me. Get rid of this. This is bad. I don't want to hear about it anymore. It's taking my time up to make more money. Big Bank gives you money to make things go away. And Little Bank takes the money in the fact that they want their rights, they want their opportunities, but in most, they just took that money and said, we won't speak on this anymore. You pay for your wrongs. Kaepernick put out a picture with his legal team. Somehow, some way it got out. Bad Boys move in silence. So when I saw that picture, it made me a little curious. Like, why would you put out in the NDA something that made it seem like the court of public opinion would say, look at those winners right there. A legal team with Kaepernick right there all smiling right after a court hearing. That was interesting. Then I looked at it and I saw also that was for the court of public opinion, but it wasn't about us. This case wasn't about us. It was about Kaepernick. But why are you putting something out for our taste, for our interpretation? That was interesting. Then I saw something else that came out and I was like, The Nike deal goes to 2028. They're partners with the NFL. And if they're partners with the NFL, you always choose partners over endorsers. And you put it together, but I think that this is something that says Nike's like, he's not as polarizing as you think. There's tremendous value in Kaepernick. People are shutting down stores because they try to protest Kaepernick at Nike, and now they can't keep their stores open because this dude is great for the bottom line. And I just know that that partnership with the NFL had to bleed into this situation. So to answer you through my story, through all the things that I've been trying to piece together, which is still not going to be a definitive answer, if you had to ask me and I had to answer, I would say the NFL won this one because it goes away. Dirty laundry is still dirty, but you just don't know how to get it exposed. And Kaepernick gets what he wants most, which is an opportunity to play. But the NFL won this case.
For me, it remains to be seen. But if I'm forced to pick and say who won this, it would be Colin Kaepernick, number one. The NFL, they don't settle with anybody.
Oh, yes, they do.
They fight tooth and nail to the end. Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback in the league. Even if he purposely deflated the ball, that's not that big of a deal. It really isn't that big. When you settle like this, they don't want something to come out that they know could possibly come out. That's number one. And then we're like, they realize he had value. You realize he had value from when he first started protesting by the support he had amongst the players and then entertainers and everybody was supporting him big time. Oh, we stand with Cap, we kneel with. You knew he had a lot of support then. And you guys I don't know if he's going to get an opportunity. They could have made this go away years ago. As soon as it happened, 2017, and said somebody signed Kaepernick and released him a few weeks later. It's no collusion. We signed him, we gave him an opportunity. He just wasn't good enough.
He wouldn't sign, and I believe this wholeheartedly, I believe it to my core. He didn't sign because he never got offered his price. Trust me.
People wanted him
to play.
Would he have wanted a signing bonus right up front, or they could have given him, an incentive-laden contract, which if he gets
an
opportunity.
He wasn't again when he
wanted guaranteed money.
When he was coming off his one, he's like most delusional fans to think 16 TDs and 4 interceptions. My God, someone should be offering me $25 million to sign and an average of $18, $19 million a year. And the NFL was like, no, man, we know what that 16 TDs and 4 interceptions really was. It was a mirage. It didn't lead to victories. It wasn't really true production. And so to me, cap has always been about how much are you going to pay me to play? No one would meet that. But for the NFL, what they've always concluded, and this is why I believe the NFL has won, they didn't know how to handle the national anthem controversy initially. They completely mishandled it. David Stern's done come out and said, look, man, all you had to do was suspend him and then bring him back and it would have been over. But that's not, the NFL let him do it for an entire season. Then they got in this dispute with the president and their traditional football fans, and it hurt ratings initially. Now I believe they're going to bring cap back into the league because it's going to help ratings.
Yeah.
Colin Kaepernick will be the number one draw damn near in the NFL next season for the first. It may last all season.
If he's not a starting quarterback, it's not going to matter. He's going to have to be on the field.
Yeah.
Well, look.
So there's only a few spots he can land in. He has to be on the field.
But, I mean, you got to tackle them as they come. And the first thing is to get them onto a roster. So that's another victory for Colin Kaepernick, which hopefully the NFL is thinking will be a victory for them. But let's just – it's all over the place. The NFL does settle. NFL has lost cases, as a matter of fact. If you go back to why we were free agents in the first place, you got to go back to Reggie White. You go back to Hardy Nickerson. Tom Brady was even offered a settlement. The devil's in the details. Tom Brady thought he was going to win that case. He said, I don't want your settlement. I'm going all the way. And then that accountant called Tom Brady and said, bruh, you know who you're dealing with, and you just exhaust yourself, not in necessarily financially, but you get tired.
They can stall you out.
Oh, man, you get tired of the lawyer fees. You're paying $500,000 every other month.
See, but with Tom Brady, it should have been a union. It should have been free.
Right, but I'm just saying, Tom Brady was offered a settlement. NFL does this at times. Here's the thing about it. Colin Kaepernick won in his eyes. He won something from the NFL because it's a settlement. You compromise on your side, they compromise on their side. He made them compromise. I don't know if that's a win, but he made Big Bank compromise. You know why? Because he caught Big Bank with their pants down. The NBA, Major League Baseball, all have a policy in place. You cannot sit or kneel for the anthem. Did the NFL have one in place? No. So Colin Kaepernick knew he had something on them. And then through that expose of deposition, you're going to be able to get more than you even wanted in that. So, yeah, he had something there. But here's what Colin Kaepernick gave up. And this is where I felt the sting. You have shirts out there. I'm with Cap. On the small of the shirt, it says, know your rights. When you settle and when you sign an NDA, you give up your first right, which is the freedom of speech. You can no longer speak on
but
that.
But we knew
forever.
He filed this suit.
And to me, that's interesting.
I see on social. When he filed this suit, it was about money from the get-go.
Oh, I get it.
Everybody knew that, so people, he sold it. Why did he sell out? You filed this suit because it's about money, because they're withholding wages. Anybody in their right, for Colin Kaepernick to do what he did, he gave up his livelihood for something he believed in for the betterment of his people. And for me, you know this. There's very few people that would have done that.
There's very few that would have done what he did. TJ, there's some disagreement. You can have that opinion, and the people that have that opinion, that he did it for the betterment of his people. There is disagreement. There are people like me that believe he threw a tantrum because he lost his starting job and things weren't going well in San Francisco. Colin Kaepernick, like a lot of people.
So he threw a silent tantrum because he didn't say much. He nailed it.
He didn't say much because there's no substance backing him. Again, this is why I keep trying to explain to people about the difference between him and Muhammad Ali. When you're backed by Malcolm X, Elijah Muhammad, and the Nation of Islam, there's some substance underneath you, and that's why you could never silence Muhammad Ali. Kaepernick is standing on Twitter, and again, that's not much substance, and so that's why he's been quiet. He can't every time he's tried to explain his position, he'll throw on a Fidel Castro T-shirt. He'll throw on some pig socks. He always dirties up his message because, again, his message isn't based in much other than he was mad. He went to a very dark place, and a bunch of things have spun out of control. And people will be upset with me for saying it or won't understand it, but I actually think Roger Goodell, let's take Goodell, just the NFL family in general, there is some sympathy for Colin Kaepernick. I think people that actually know Colin Kaepernick have great sympathy for him. He got involved in something way bigger than he ever intended, and it forced him to make some decisions that he regrets. He can't even say it, and that's why this NDA actually works for him as well.
Yeah.
Everybody keeps looking at the NFL's protecting itself. Now, I don't think the NFL has much to protect itself from.
I mean, if
I
he got a couple years' salary and he does get an opportunity to play, it's a win-win for both. It's a win for the NFL. It's a win for Colin Kaepernick if he gets this opportunity. And I think he was supposed to make $16 million in 2016 and 2017. If he gets around $40 million, it's a win-win for both.
Okay, here's the thing. I've been on record. Ron Jaworski went there, and I co-signed it. Maybe this is 3-4 years ago. That Colin Kaepernick was the most talented quarterback in the NFL. It's on YouTube. Go check it out. People killed me for saying
I remember that.
I was like, oh, okay. I'm going to tell you how much I love Kaepernick. I knew Kaepernick the person. I had people in the 49ers organization that work with him daily. I even got someone hired in the organization, and they told me a lot of intel, and I'm going to just air it out. So after I say that, I'm bunkered in. I'm like, damn, y'all don't like Cap as much as I do? Kaepernick, in his last 2 years, these were his numbers. In terms of 35 capable, eligible quarterbacks. He was 34th in win percentage, 32nd in completion percentage, and 31st in QB.
But we all
know
if you don't have players around.
I get it.
You got to have a team
around not,
you.
Dog, I can't be dissing Cap because I was the one who loved them the most. And then in those 2 years, he knows this more than anybody. And then in those 2 years, remember he got benched for throwing 4 yards in 3 quarters?
I remember that.
Okay. He goes into that offseason. You know what happened? 3-4 surgeries. Loses a ton of weight. And then this is his last year. He gets benched because he's not ready for all the offseason stuff, whatever. And then he opts out of a contract in part because they said, we're going to cut you regardless.
Yes.
So now you're in a position. You know this. This is the leverage game now. Wherever you go, you ain't going to get as much. Right? Let's be real.
If you opted out, more than likely.
Right. Yes. So, but then he went on the open market and was expecting starting quarterback money. So that's where I think the first misplay was. Now, the intel told me during the moments when he was protesting at first and nobody knew, it wasn't a protest for the cause. Initially, it was, that's how y'all gonna play y'all franchise quarterback? I'm sitting on the bench during pregame. And then that turned into a couple of weeks. Finally, someone said, what are you doing on the bench during the pregame national anthem? Then that mapped on to a cause which we're all sympathetic about. I'm from it. You're from it. He's for it. Respect. And so I was just waiting peacefully on the sidelines, hoping that this will all materialize and make sense when you're trying to live a dual existence in terms of what you want as a player, but what you want as an activist. Now, Jim Brown, take shots at Jim Brown all you want, but he's an athlete activist who warned us. You can't do both, bruh. I'm telling you, it's going to come to a place where you're going to have to sell it. You're going to have to get paid for it. And then where's the cause in that? Colin Kaepernick easily could donate his time, energy to the cause with this settlement and everything else. I'm not dissing Kaepernick like that. But I am going to say, like a Teddy Bruschi and many others are going out there publicly saying, if you really had him, why didn't you get him? And that's the only question I have is, if you had him, why didn't you get him? Or you didn't have him,
because
and that's
fine. Because it was about money. And he probably got the amount of money he was looking for thrown at him. I'm done.
I get it.
That's your opinion.
I get it.
I disagree with it. I'll add this, Marcellus, and it's all out there in writing, in Twitter, in columns. When Kaepernick was rolling, it was me, you, and Jaworski. This morning went back and looked at what I wrote and read in 2012 and 2013. Loved Kaepernick. He fell off a cliff. Because of injuries, circumstance,
and it goes
Jim
coaching. That's the thing.
Goes
it goes coaching. Coaching matters, and the team around
there's
him
no
left.
Question.
Oh yeah, I'm
but,
all in.
But trust me, where Marcellus just went in terms of where this really started and what this really was about, I've stood on that from day one, and I've never wavered from it. Because again, I'm not going. I know people that know that were on that staff and know Colin Kaepernick. And again, it's never, He's never been about what he's been forced to try to be about. And he finally, I hope, finally is like, let me go back to what I'm really good at.
So if that's the case, Jason, once all this shakes out, he's gonna be a fraud, because you got to continue to do this.
Well, you have to.
If you don't, it's like, where does he go from here?
It doesn't have much to satisfy the public, though.
Yeah.
All he has to do is give out some charitable donations. How many times have you heard people, oh, well, he gave this amount of money, he gave that amount of money. Clearly, he's down for the cause. Hey, man, if you have a lot of money, it's not stupid to give money to charity. It's a good tax write-off. Mm. He's not the only one. A lot of people do it very privately and quietly. I have more respect for that than the people that do it publicly for, hey, look at me, look what I'm doing.
Yeah, and just for my last point, I was rallying for Colin Kaepernick in the respect that he needed the fuel from those who are from it, those who are disenfranchised, those who are voiceless, powerless, and that's my origin, so I was like, hell yeah. And I'm not gonna get into the fraud angle of it, but I will point out issues. And Colin Kaepernick pointed out a lot of issues in our country. And I'm pointing out some issues with Colin Kaepernick in terms of him being the leader of this cause. Why is he the leader of this cause? He's not for me. No one is for me. I donate my time, my energy, my talents, and I'm not a leader. I just do it, and I hope I can hopefully get other people inspired to do theirs. But when you start calling out other leaders, Malcolm Jenkins was when I said, when you start calling out other people who, when you're one position on the field and somebody else is the other position, but you're mad at them for doing their job to try and do it. So then you told me Malcolm Jenkins was a sellout because he took the money and the cause. But then you took the
Kaepernick
money.
Kaepernick didn't say that. That was Eric Reed. Well,
the corner man said it. The corner man said, you know why?
Hype man.
Because the one in the ring ain't saying nothing now.
All right.
You want to go back to that broadcast?
Back to the All-Star game where LeBron may have captained the winning team, but he wasn't the game's most valuable player. That honor went to Kevin Durant, who took home the award for the second time, which actually had some in the media gushing about the accomplishment, helping KD pad his already Hall of Fame resume. All right, does an MVP in the All-Star game, does it enhance your legacy?
No.
No.
No. We already knew he was one of the baddest men on the planet. Like, he's in a conversation of being the best in the world. Like, we already know this. If you get an All-Star MVP, it's like, oh, you're one step closer. No, he already has one. And the All-Star game is about who really wants to play on this weekend, who really wants to take this seriously, and who's in the right mindset. Some guys are in kind of like rest mindset. Some guys are not.
I mean, what are you shocked about?
Go ahead. I want.
Oh yeah, we want to hear you.
I'm so shocked.
That suit. You gotta say something with that suit on.
Hey, he waiting for me. You like that wine?
Yeah,
you like
that wine.
He waiting for me. Listen, that wine. Listen, I love KD.
Oh.
KD is amazing.
Uh oh.
But Damian Lillard, Klay Thompson, and Ben Simmons is the one who brought them back. Mm. He was scoring before. In the first half, he was scoring. It didn't mean nothing. So to this whole legacy, because you got MVP in the All-Star game, it's an All-Star game.
Okay, does it help your legacy or does it hurt
How's
your legacy? You got to pick one.
Listen,
because in life, we know nothing stays the same.
When you talk about
it, help it or hurt it?
That's
it certainly
neutral.
Doesn't hurt it, does it?
It don't hurt it and it don't help it.
Okay.
Because you got All-Star in it. Because you got MVP in the All-Star game.
Look, I'm going to give you a full screen, first of all, and give you the names of people that he just put himself in the same world as, and you tell me if this is going to hurt him, as you say, or it doesn't matter. Kevin Durant, two final MVPs and one regular season MVP. Oh, LeBron, Kobe, Shaq, Michael Jordan, Magic. Heard of all of them. Mm, interesting. Okay, so you're sitting there saying, oh, well, it won't help you. I think it does, because you got to take the proper value of what this is. This is him playing amongst the game's best and once again shining the brightest. And you know what it sparked?
He didn't shine the brightest.
Tell me this. He won MVP. Tell me this. Did this happen at my sports bar? Can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
At my sports bar, when he won the MVP, someone very smart, astute about basketball, got up there and said, are we done with saying that LeBron's the best player in basketball? And there was a collective exhale. Thank you. KD's the best basketball player in the world right now. Are we going to say that? What's your answer?
I don't care what them people said at your bar.
They obviously were drunk.
They were drunk.
They are seriously too much. Y'all pour heavy there. That's probably happening right now.
Big bills.
Kevin Durant, the last time I checked, basketball is what? A team sport.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to ask all three of you this. If you have LeBron James or Kevin Durant, you start in the team. Who are you picking to win?
LeBron James, it's not even a question.
There you go.
Listen, so you're a lot tougher when you got security with you, right?
There you go. Yeah.
And he got a lot of security with him.
A lot of it.
He got a lot of security. He got two of the baddest D-bos. Shooters in the land.
Isn't that love for him? Because he's got the two-time MVP.
Listen, man, y'all,
it makes
y'all,
it
y'all,
easier.
And he's clearly better.
No,
than
it makes
y'all,
it easier. Stop.
It doesn't.
They won 73 games before him. They won a championship before him. If you put LeBron, you give LeBron James, Stephen Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson.
Well. Let me say this.
Put KD on the Lakers.
Are we serious?
You know what'll happen?
What?
He will diminish Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond.
Shooters?
Who will diminish him?
LeBron
Pace
James.
Playback. Oh,
and
man.
Again, LeBron James is better than Kevin Durant, but there are some complications that go along with playing with. There's a reason why all that talent.
Did you see LeBron James in the Olympics? Did you see LeBron James in All-Star
games? Olympics talking, is damn have, like the All-Star
Have you ever
game.
Seen
no, not, no.
Have you ever seen an All-Star
game? You know Carmelo LeBron is in the Olympic Hall of Fame.
Man, LeBron James.
Carmelo's in the Olympic Hall of Fame.
He was leading all of
them.
And Carmelo.
When is the last time
he scored?
I buckets like in the Olympics playing with all that talent. A bucket.
Now, you hear what you just said?
Yeah.
You can get buckets playing with all that talent.
Uh-oh, yeah. Don't do that.
Kevin Durant, it's easier for him to score when he has all them shooters.
I agree with you
LeBron
there.
James, I you put him with Golden State, and we'll see what we're talking about now. 82-0.
You know what we'll be talking about?
We'll be talking
Steph
about.
Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. I'm getting the hell out
no,
of
you
here.
No, you won't. They love LeBron. They would love LeBron.
Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. While other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, Robinhood doesn't charge any commission fees, so you can trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Plus, there is no account minimum deposit needed to get started, so you can start investing at any level. The simple, intuitive design of Robinhood makes investing easy for newcomers and experts alike. View easy-to-understand charts and market data and place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. You can also view stock collections such as the 100 most popular. With Robinhood, you're going to learn how to invest in the market as you build your portfolio, discover new stocks, track your favorite companies, and get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners of Speak for Yourself a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. Sign up at speak.robinhood.com. That's speak.robinhood.com.
Tino Mobley back with us. Time for my favorite segment, Twitter Off. Our social media manager, Darnell Smith, is here. Warren Central's finest.
Aight.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Darnell, what's popping?
Yeah, man, we're going to start off with Tim Tebow. Twitter's been going crazy over his inspirational speech about not letting the critics get to you. Take a listen.
I try to encourage young people all the time to not let the world or other people, outside sources, define you, because you're always going to have critics and naysayers and people that are going to tell you that you won't, that you can't, that you shouldn't. You're going to live with a lot more regret than you would have if you tried and you failed. And I'm very passionate about that. And I think the reason that a lot of people don't go after things is because how much you will be criticized, and what if I fall flat on my face? And so fear and doubt and all these things creep in. And I just don't believe that's the healthiest way to live.
What do y'all think of Tebow's advice here?
I think it's awesome advice. I think it speaks why, out of nowhere, the guy has a chance to be a Major League Baseball player. He got ridiculed for that decision. He got ridiculed for his football career. But, you know, Tim Tebow is inspired by a higher power and a life force that protects him from all of his critics, and I think it's great advice.
Oh, yeah. Tremendous advice. The proper mindset. You got to count those with you, not those against you, in anything, any endeavor, any climb in this world. And he's just basically saying, I love myself, man, and that's okay. I think a lot of times you get discouraged from saying that. No, there are a lot of people in my life who are cheerleading me and supporting me, but nobody has bigger pom-poms than me for myself, right. Trust me. And I wish everyone had the same thing.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, I love his speech, and that's usually what I would say to my teenagers and even my youngest son. He just believes in himself, and you have to believe in yourself. All of us, we have to believe in ourselves, and that's why we're here, and we've accomplished so much in being on Earth for this short period of time, actually. And for Tim Tebow, like, I mean, from football to baseball, he's getting knocked around, and he still believes.
Yeah, and there are a few people in this world that walk into a room, and the energy changes.
Yeah.
You know, Michael Jackson, that happened with me.
Right.
Muhammad Ali, happened with me.
Right.
I'm not gonna lie, people, he ain't on their levels, maybe. Tim right. Tebow walking the room. I'm telling you, y'all, you yeah. feel it. You be like, yeah. what just walked
Very
through?
Positive.
Great attitude Very positive. And energy. I love that dude.
Sidney Poitier.
Okay.
I love that one.
All right, guys, moving on to the hardwood, where rappers and celebrities flock to Charlotte for this weekend's NBA All-Star game. One of the NFL's loudest talkers, Jazz corner Jalen Ramsey, made it clear he was a big fan of the festivities, tweeting, quote, the NBA culture is dope. So, Whitlock, what is so dope about the NBA culture?
Like a pound or a kick.
Listen, I get it. If I'm Jalen Ramsey, because I watched the NBA All-Star weekend, it's like, J. Cole at halftime or Maroon 5? What's going to touch Jalen Ramsey or me? Because he did that Middle Child song at the All-Star. Yeah. I was like, damn, he killed it. That's an easy one. But I don't think some people will take it as him saying that their culture is better than football culture. I hope that's not what he's saying, because I disagree with that.
Look, for me, NBA has always been better than NFL. Yeah. NBA players are cool. Look, when I was in high school, I was looking at these empty backpack dudes walking around 6'7", getting all the love, wearing tank tops, no helmets. Yeah. You hit me, free throws.
Went to the wrong school, Darnell.
Yeah.
You either went
to Westchester, which is the biggest basketball school out there.
If you went to Warren Central.
No.
Football powerhouse, man.
You either want to be a rapper or a basketball player.
Say
Nobody. That's what you want to be.
Thank you.
A rapper or a basketball player. Yes. And the NBA is so much more conscious than the NFL.
To the point that it was in Charlotte,
North Carolina, and guess who they had as their front runner?
J. Cole,
because he's from North Carolina. You in Atlanta, who was performing?
Oh, that's right.
Oh, hey. Yeah. Oh, you forgot it wasn't in Charlotte a few years ago for a reason.
Donald Sterling was owning the Clippers all those years. The NBA just cleaned that all up and led the charge, didn't you?
Yeah.
Good for J. Cole. I love J. Cole in the NBA.
Now, what NBA player?
It's dope.
Hey, support Cap and Neil. I dare you, NBA player. Oh, you can't. Come on, man. Yeah. Chill out.
All right, Darnell, what's
Chill
next?
Out. Y'all smell that?
I smell it. We got some more smoke in the building. Hey, y'all, one of the hottest rappers in the game right now, Meek Mill, performed before the All-Star game. Mm. And our guy, Michael Rapaport, clearly wasn't pleased. He took multiple shots at Meek over Twitter, saying he rapped off beat, called him a trash rapper, and even said he got dragged by Drake.
Damn.
Well, Meek decided to clap back with a couple tweets of his own, questioning Rapaport for speaking on the culture, and even posted a selfie that Rapaport took with him the first time they met. Marcellus, what level of smoke is this?
Woo, this was a tough one, y'all. Oh, man, they went back and forth, made some great points. Okay, first, it's not a wet match because he ain't just put out there and tweet, I don't like Meek Mill. I get it. Meek Mill is a great rapper, but he could go to Caton School here and there, stay on the beat, ride with it a little bit. But I love Meek Mill, so I hear it. He ain't go bonfire because I ain't hear no Nicki Minaj mentioned in there. That would have set it off a little bit more, but he ain't go there. He ain't even go grease fire. He ain't stop there because he... Drake came up, and you know when you bring up Drake's name, that's still going to be touchy with Meek. He went scorched earth because he thought he went in on Meek and was like, done, let me sit back and count my retweets. And Meek hit him with the lean-in selfie, and nothing is worse than catching somebody in their mind and their feelings and in their Twitter thug.
True fan.
Not just a selfie, the lean-in selfie. That means you bother me, bro. Hurry the hell up. Yeah. He got him. Scorched earth. Meek Mill wins. We all been there before.
Shout out to North Philly.
Yeah, you from Philadelphia, man.
Listen.
Whose side you on here?
I'm on Meek's side. I got to go back home. I'm on Meek's side. I got to go back home.
Is Meek rap on beat?
Hell no.
I said I'm on Meek's side. I got to go back home.
It ain't about that.
Leave Meek alone, man.
I love Meek.
I'm not even going to touch this. I'm not qualified.
What? You ain't qualified?
I'm not...
You just talked about J. Cole. You know the song.
Listen, Michael Rapaport messes with everybody.
I'm not a Meek Mill guy. I haven't listened to a lot of Meek Mill.
Okay, the one thing I didn't like, and this is taking it a little too serious, I don't like when our people say, you can't talk about us. Because there's a lot of white culture things that I talk about and criticize. Because I used to go at the Dukes of Hazzard. We can't talk about the Dukes of Hazzard no more. Like, I don't want to draw that divide. Like, you can't talk about us. We can't talk about y'all. Don't do that.
All right, now it's time for Darnell's question of the day. Darnell, take it away.
It's Darnell. My question of the day. My question.
Question
of the day. 285 pounds.
Now Oh,
yeah. You like that, don't you?
That's on beat. That's on beat.
I was about to start dancing. I was.
I need to put a bar on there, don't
you? Yeah, in the chair, but I got to sit still so the camera can see me. I can't.
All right, guys. So watching D-Wade and Dirk Nowitzki play in their final All-Star game, it started making me think about legacy. And we both know they both had amazing careers. But who would you pick between D-Wade and Dirk Nowitzki as far as the best, better
it's
career?
Not, it's not even close to me.
It's not close.
Let's go.
No. Well, hold on. How is it not close? It's got to be close. Now this is close.
No, I love Dirk, but Dwayne Wade to me, it's like, come on.
How?
I'm saying to me.
No. But
there's Michael Jordan, there's Kobe Bryant, then there's Dwayne Wade. As far as two guards,
I agree with that.
Yeah.
But Nowitzki's not even top five power forwards ever.
But again, those are different positions. What about?
Right, you said who had a better career.
Okay, but what?
So whoever better career is the third best shooting guard ever, opposed to not even top five power forward ever. He has three rings, you have one.
What about stretch four? Are you going to give that some, like, a different lane
stretch
in positionless
four.
Basketball where they're taking it now?
Listen.
I mean, he did revolutionize that position.
No, like, he
what? One guy will be remembered for taking out the big three in Miami.
Yeah.
The greatest team, allegedly, of all. Not one, not two, not the team that was supposed
to win. Would you stop doing that?
Hey, they did it.
You like massaging that like that, don't you?
I'm just saying. But one guy took them out, and Dwayne Wade's greatest accomplishment.
Stop that. One guy, Jason Kidd, too. And Jason Terry, they were – Sean Marion.
And Nowitzki was going crazy in that finals, though. Yes. He was playing out of his mind.
Dwayne Wade
How about that Dwayne Wade finals in 06?
Thank you.
And he averaged 36.
That's
true. Against Dirk Nowitzki.
Against table scraps.
Against Dirk Nowitzki. I don't care if he had dog food. He killed him.
I think it's very close.
I think it's Dwayne Wade, though.
It's Dwayne Wade.
He doesn't get the same.
You like Dwayne Wade? Tell me you like Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne Wade's probably my favorite NBA player
that
never played for the Pacers.
There you go.
He's one of the only NBA players I follow on Twitter.
That's what I like.
Huge Dwayne Wade fan.
Yeah. Can you follow
me,
please?
I do follow you.
Okay.
It's very close, but it's very close between him and Dirk Nowitzki.
Who won, though?
Dwayne Wade.
It's a coin flip.
Dwayne averaged 36 in the finals against Dirk Nowitzki.
Put some respect on Dirk's name. Dirk came back. Dirk came back against D-Wade.
So who you got since you want me?
I got D-Wade, but you said like it's just a landslide.
No, it's a landslide, but I'm just saying Dwayne Wade.
You said it's not close.
Dante Jones and Gatito Mobley are back. Let's return to the NBA, where the quietest man in the league, Kawhi Leonard, is starting to make some noise. The Raptor star just dropped the first ad for his signature new Balance shoe.
Why are you laughing?
The commercial appeared to take some shots
at
other NBA stars, saying Kawhi doesn't need to chase fouls or post selfies or clap back at haters because his game speaks for itself. Question here, love it or like it? I absolutely love the new Kawhi commercial.
Okay, first thing, shameless plug, shout out to Michael Pierce, who made a movie, Inside Game. I didn't mention it last one because we were talking about it. Tim Donaghy's story, it's amazing. Second of all, and I'm gonna end it with this, Clip City, Chip City, this is what we do. Kawhi Leonard went out there and came out with the best ad in NBA, maybe history, outside of Be Like Mike. You know what's great about this? Everything. You know what the only part I have an issue with, I'm gonna say it quick? Even the quiet can't stay quiet forever. It's amazing. He making an ad about marketing and all these other guys, how they selling themselves. And then even he had to go out there and do it himself. So, you know what? That's the only issue I got with it, but I love the ad. And I'll see you in L.A. next year, bro.
Where did Clip City, Chip City come from?
Because that's Kawhi. You know, that's our free agent.
Okay. Never mind.
I loved it.
Okay. All right. Never mind.
You loved it.
Because it spoke to his personality.
Exactly.
Or lack thereof in some people's thought process that he really does not have a personality whatsoever. And it showed that he does. But he's just not like the typical NBA player these days. And he's your ideal basketball player in your mindset, because a guy who just focuses on basketball and plays it nonstop, I thought you would have loved this.
I did love it.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I mean, it's his personality, basically, right? That's his personality.
Yeah.
I mean,
He does take
simple.
A shot at LeBron, in everybody. My opinion. Everybody gets
but, so. But let's get this straight. Yeah. He's not the one who was the creative director.
Facts.
Somebody else.
His name's on it, man.
His name is on it, but he said, okay. He said, okay. Oh, yeah, I like that. Okay. That's what he did. It wasn't like he's sitting behind and creating that whole concept
he
that they
had
put
to
on.
Sign off on, man, we're going to take shots at everybody.
No.
If you execute,
you give me the $5 million, and I show up for the commercial.
Oh, don't do
this. Is what I, they did a good job of selling speaking to his personality. Yes, they created that.
They sold
he
that
showed
to
up
him.
And they told him what to do, put the big finger up, said shh. They created get out of here.
They created in his voice. It's just like a book or any movie, they're doing it in your voice. And yes, your actual performance is signing off on what they created. Don't let's not separate.
All right, coming up,
shots.
Let's move to another guy who was at the All-Star weekend, Kyrie Irving, who just a couple of years ago was trying to get as far away from LeBron James as possible, but now is singing a different tune. A few weeks ago, Kyrie revealed that he apologized to LeBron for how things ended in Cleveland, and now he says he wants to build a legacy like his old teammate, saying, quote, I'm going to be that guy like Bron who leads the next generation of superstars. Question here is Kyrie delusional? I say yes.
Why?
Because I don't think he understands. You don't play your way into LeBron's position. You're anointed. You're chosen by the NBA and the league. They decide we're building the league around you. LeBron didn't play his way into it. They put him on the cover as the chosen one, and the league got behind. And his talent demanded that. But Kyrie doesn't have that kind of once-in-a-lifetime generational talent. He'll never be LeBron. He can't. That's Kevin Durant can chase all he wants. Mm. But Zion Williamson has a chance. They may choose to build the league around him, but it won't be Kyrie Irving.
Mm, those limits sound like projection, man, and the fears of individuals who say you're delusional when you think outside the box and you think that you're bigger than others expect you to be. But I'm with Kyrie. For LeBron's greatness and all of it, in totality, there's still room to even do more. If you think about what the opportunities presented, LeBron doesn't win a championship every single year. LeBron's not the MVP every single year. LeBron's team this year may not even make the playoffs. So I'm not trying to poke at LeBron. I'm just saying if I'm Kyrie, I could build myself up and saying, look, it's going to be difficult. There are going to be obstacles for me to be the focal point of a championship team just by a style of play. But I can be a centerpiece that attracts others, and we could go get this. There was a time where people told Steph Curry, some people said, don't even draft a dude. And then some people said, man, that dude's going to stay injured. Example. And then look what happened. They were able
That's another good example, though, Steph. Again, Steph, by play and by accomplishment, he should be on LeBron's level. But he's not.
Well, when you're saying when there's one, there's only one. Like, there's going to be a transition of one, and that's the opportunity that Kyrie is looking for.
I think he's trying to build the resume, and there's nothing wrong for him projecting that and speaking on what his goal is. Does he have a chance? He has a chance because
he's, so it's not delusional.
He's not delusional, but it's his set of goals that he's
no, he
telling
the
you.
Earth is flat.
He rescinded that comment already.
And he'll rescind this one too.
Six-time All-Star. Six-time All-Star, All-Star MVP, Rookie of the Year. Like, he's building that resume to be able to have that type of reverence in the NBA. He's going to have to get an MVP. He's going to have to get a Finals MVP to be able to put in that context. But I don't think he's delusional, no. I think he's just speaking what his goals are.
Well, I think it's different levels to it, too, though. I mean, be like LeBron in the fact of being a leader, being a captain, being a voice. You can do that. He can definitely do that. Now, he had struggles with that early on how to communicate to the younger players. That's something that he's going to have to work on in order to get players to buy into what you're preaching. That's the issue right here I have with Kyrie, is that you throw some things out there in regards to, I'm staying in Boston, but now it's like, well, maybe I'm going to wait to the end of the year to see what's best for me. That is not the kind of leadership you want when you want to involve people, because now you're sending mixed signals to your locker room, and that has an effect on the court. So I don't think he's delusional in that fact, but I do believe you have to evolve into that kind of person by playing, by I think the things you do on and off the court, you just can't say, I want to be like LeBron. You have to prove that year in, year out on a daily basis. Until you do that, you don't gain that respect in the locker room.
Well, I understand that, but it's unfortunate that we're going to grade Kyrie and his projections of what he desires based on LeBron's results. That's two different
places. But he said LeBron.
Because LeBron had missteps.
But here's the thing,
though. But go back to when LeBron was Kyrie's age.
Oh, here's the thing. If Kyrie never
mentioned. Was he a champion at that age?
But listen. If Kyrie never mentioned, I want to do like LeBron, then we won't compare it.
No, I'm not mad at the comparison.
But I'm saying, but he opened the door for us to interpret that in that way.
Right. But there was a day where no one
ever could catch Michael Jordan. When he left the game, people was like, please, who's going to be number two for life? And now there's a conversation, is there a 1A, 1B?
A legitimate one?
Yes.
A legitimate one?
Look, if you don't agree with the conversation, it is legitimate. You can't say that LeBron is getting some.
There will be a legitimate one at the end of the day, at the end of somebody's career. I think so.
Yes.
But I think this is the beginning of it. I don't have a problem with him stating that, because once you state it, then you hold yourself accountable to it and you start taking the steps necessary. So if he's projecting that and giving that out there, then that means he's going to try to be the guy that you said he has to be, on and off the court, the leader, and he has to hold himself accountable as being that type of leader. And I think at 27, he can, by building his resume, to do that.
I think Kyrie, Kevin Durant, they need to remove LeBron from their equation and don't let any of their actions be motivated by the pursuit of LeBron. They're not going to catch him. They're not in position. In terms of, again, when you are the chosen one of a league and the league decides we're going to ride or die, we're going to live and die with you, we're going to offer you a level of protection and support that no one else in the league is going to get. Kyrie, Kevin Durant are never going to get that. And so when I listen to Kevin Durant a lot of times, I hear the jealousy. And again, and I'm not saying that as a negative, but he has some jealousy of LeBron and the way LeBron is treated by the media.
Man, we are forgetting, man.
And I know LeBron had some missteps and was beat up for a while, but overall, over the course, LeBron is a protected species because, again, we all benefit from LeBron's excellence, narrative, and storyline. We all benefit from it. So we all have a vested stake in making sure it remains upright and glorified so that, because we all ride LeBron's wave. No, that's just a fact.
Look,
ride KD.
I'm invested in the meritocracy of sports. I'm invested as if you're really the king, you got to be the king in all moments and prove that. Look, LeBron at 26 was in Miami losing a championship game to the Dallas Mavericks when people were questioning him as a clutch player, as a leader, and then said you went ring chasing and came up donut. So Kyrie's like, I'm at that point. This is like a track and field reference. Every time you see Usain Bolt break another world record, remember, there's an 11-year-old running faster than Usain Bolt at 11. Will he be Usain Bolt? More than likely, no. But is it crazy to grab that one kid and say, he's got a chance? All I'm saying is he's not delusional because he has a chance.
Eight more years. Kyrie and Kevin Durant, you can be. Take your eye off the board.
Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. While other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, Robinhood doesn't charge any commission fees, so you can trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Plus, there is no account minimum deposit needed to get started, so you can start investing at any level. The simple, intuitive design of Robinhood makes investing easy for newcomers and experts alike. View easy-to-understand charts and market data and place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. You can also view stock collections such as the 100 most popular. With Robinhood, you're going to learn how to invest in the market as you build your portfolio, discover new stocks, track your favorite companies, and get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners of Speak for Yourself a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. Sign up at speak.robinhood.com. That's speak.robinhood.com.
Time for my favorite segment.
Time
got me a new bottle of Twitter off, all powered up.
Time for some anti.
Darnell Smith, our social media manager's here. Swole, what's poppin'?
Hey, man, we're going to start with some big drama that's been going on social media.
Don't do it.
According to TMZ, Khloe Kardashian had to cut it off with Tristan Thompson because the man allegedly got caught cheating again. Tristan came to L.A. last week for Valentine's Day to spend time with Khloe, but witnesses say Tristan went out a few days later and was seen making out with a girl named Jordan Woods at a party. Now check this out. This girl happens to be best friends with Kylie Jenner,
not no more,
Khloe's sister. Right. Word on the street is Khloe confronted Tristan and ended it with him. I'm going to toss this straight over to my guy, Iceberg Jim Jackson. Are you surprised this celebrity couple didn't last?
No.
Why not?
Come on, listen. One, she got paper. He papered up. He's still in the league. He's still young. The number one rule when he got caught early at the club and at the hotel, one, you don't leave. If you're in a relationship, you don't leave a club with a girl. number two, okay? You don't walk in a hotel with one. You leave a key at the front desk, meet him around a little bit later, okay? You never do that. So he was doomed from the beginning. It wasn't gonna work because he wasn't ready to be in a committed relationship.
Preach, brother. I mean, look, he's been acting out like he didn't want this as fully as maybe she wanted it. Whatever reasons, you could say it's because he's young, because he's in the league, because he got his own, he got too many temptations.
All of it.
All of it. But guess what? Even if you wanted it with all that going on, you don't move like this, big dog. Like you said,
you don't move.
You don't
like
even
that.
Speak to nobody what? When you out. Fans only, shoulder up. Here we go, picture, get out my face. That's all you do now. What you gonna do is you gonna do. This situation was doomed from the beginning. And I'm sad to see that Tristan has to get drugged through the mud for it.
I'm not gonna add anything to it other than daughter. I think she needs an older man.
Yep.
I think someone between 45 and 51. Perhaps it lives on Wilshire Boulevard. Would be more appropriate, but,
somebody that's out the game, right?
All right, Donnell, what's next?
All right, man, moving on to my favorite cousin, Kirk Cousins. The Minnesota QB has been getting a ton of backlash after posting this tweet while in Miami.
Backlash?
In 2010, I was mad at LeBron for leaving Cleveland, but I've been in Miami for a total of 5 minutes, and now I totally understand. Vikings fans took it as disrespect and went in on Kirk with a bunch of funny tweets and gifts. Obviously, Kirk didn't expect that kind of backlash and later responded to it all with this classic Anchorman line. Boy, that escalated quickly. Should Minnesota fans be this upset or are they tripping?
No, they shouldn't be upset. I don't even know what they're upset about. He was clearly tweeting from Tootsie's.
The office, right? They shouldn't be upset. They should get a plane ticket and see what he's talking about. If you've been to Miami and realize those conditions in those few square blocks right there, my goodness, there's nothing better in this world than those few little.
I lived there and I played for the Heat. Now, it was a catch-22, though, because Pat Riley was on our So he knew everything that was going on. He made practices so hard, you didn't want to go out.
I get it.
But, bro, after practice, I go down to the beach, have some lunch, chop it up a little bit. It's a beautiful thing when you literally go to Prime 112, have something to eat. Have a little cigar on the beach.
Oh, say it again. Kirk Cousins and Tristan Thompson getting it. Tristan, you better kick it with Kirk.
What?
And Kirk's still married, but he was like, I shouldn't be here.
I get it.
I shouldn't be here.
Darnell, what's next?
So this morning on First Things First, our guy Doug Gottlieb has some strong words on Manny Machado's historic 10-year, $300 million deal. Take a listen.
10 years for Manny Machado? He was a dog in L.A. He's stepping on the ankles of first baseman. He's saying, I ain't Johnny Hustle. Like, hey, dude, we're paying you $300 million. You're going to be Johnny, Charlie, and any kind of hustle we say you are. This dude's a dog. And you give him $300 million and you put him in San Diego where they're not going to be competitive this year and you expect him to play hard every day? Dude, this is going to be a terrible deal.
Y'all agree with Doug? Is he being too harsh?
I agree with Doug. Name me one of these 10-year deals in Major League Baseball that's worked out. Albert Pujols, Robinson Cano, Alex Rodriguez. Name me Giancarlo Stanton.
Stanton?
Kershaw.
None of them have worked.
Well, look, we know why it doesn't work on the field because you're just going, you know, Father Time's undefeated. You're going to get out your prime during that deal. But it works in terms of attraction. It works in terms of the economy of baseball, which has been a regionalized sport, which has been a localized sport. I've been down to San Diego recently and for the Padre games last year. They needed that attraction. They thought that they were getting it a couple of times. They've swung for the fences before. And this is their way. No other way, because they're not going to win in terms of on-field performance, bring that attention. So they try to win with star power.
Cost of doing business,
right?
Yeah. I mean, in regards to getting fans in the stands, marketing, TV, doing all of those things. Now, the thing is, and Jason, I agree with you on this, that 10-year deal, especially on the back end, is where you pay. Because he can have success early on, but then 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, those years back then, now the value is not there. Right. He getting that bag.
This is A-Rod all over again. He wants to play shortstop. They got a good young shortstop. He's going to have to play third base. He's not going to be happy. Now, that new stadium is like 15 years old or something, and so maybe he will draw some extra fans because the stadium's no longer the draw and they're not going to win a lot of games.
There it is.
All right, Darnell, it's time for Darnell's question of the day. Take it away.
It's Darnell's.
My question of the day. 285 pounds.
Oh, dog. Get him, get him.
Thicky long stocking.
Dog. Yo, all right, next time that come on tomorrow, everybody look at his boy's camera phone in the beginning, the first clip. It's LeBron's All-Star first one. Remember that little baby, that little flip? Oh, man.
All right, man. I love my haters. But anyway, yesterday, Steph Curry and former President Barack Obama spoke to the youth in Oakland at a My Brother's Keeper event. And we all know athletes have become much more politically active as of late. But do y'all think pro athletes should be leaders in politics?
Wow. I'm glad you asked this because I have an answer and I can't wait to get the reaction to the athletes, of the athletes. I don't think so.
I knew that. I knew that.
Let me explain why. I just think athletes haven't realized and we as the public haven't realized things have changed so drastically for athletes. We keep wanting the athletes to be like Jackie Robinson or Muhammad Ali or John Carlos and Tommy Smith, and we haven't realized, and again, this is where I want y'all's reaction, because I don't think y'all have realized that when you go from a college campus at 21 or 22 years old, or in the NBA at 19 years old, and then you become a millionaire, there are so many life experiences that you have missed that don't give you a full perspective of, and so we keep like saying with LeBron James, you know, he struggled as a child. That was his parents' struggle. I grew up poor and had no idea that we were poor. My mother says it all the time. My father says it all the time. That's your parents' struggle, not yours. There are so many life experiences that the high-profile athlete misses out on. And look, more power to them. Go from college to being a millionaire, but there's all parts of the struggle they've missed and don't understand, and that's where I think their disconnect is from working class people.
Agree with you, actually. Respect for your reasoning. Mine's a little different. From my experience, I think the athletes should be supporters in terms of politics. They should lend their platform to help the message have more volume, but they shouldn't dive into it. I'll give you a case in point, whether it's a Cornel West or Michael Eric Dyson. These dudes have PhDs from Princeton, and they're the ones that should be speaking to the fullest of this versus a guy who's like, hey, man, I just finished practice, but now let me go and get the Cliff's notes of this and try to dive into it. I just think that it takes so much more expertise, in part through experience, that athletes should be supporters, but not necessarily the leader.
So are we talking about current athletes or just athletes, period?
Well, I think professional athletes.
I think it's critical because if you look at a Bill Bradley, a Steve Largent, if you look at...
Different era.
But that's what I'm saying. Are we talking about now?
Yeah.
Because here's my thing. I do believe there's a place, because at being an athlete, it teaches you, especially a team sport athlete, it teaches you, one, how to deal with others. It teaches you communication skills, okay? It teaches you how to grind and actually put your head down and achieve something. Now, along the way, it is, I think, a slot for an individual to step over to politics. But they have to be careful when they take that step that they really dive in and understand that. I don't think you should just go away from it. Dave Bing was the mayor of Detroit. Again, a different era, but it's happened. You had Jesse the Body Ventura, who's the governor of Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Okay, Arnold Schwarzenegger. So it's been a crossover with certain individuals who dedicated themselves to understanding the political landscape. And if you can do that...
As an active player, though?
I'm not as an active player, but post.
Well, post, yeah. Once you have the full attention, once you now have read up, you have had the experience, I give you some
people
of that.
People get upset when I say this. Mm-hmm. But this is just a fact, and I don't care if people don't like it. These athletes of today's era, mm-hmm. with the millions of dollars funneled to them, and the way that they're treated by society in a very privileged way, they're really no different than Donald Trump. And I don't particularly want more of that. I don't want the pampered of society in key political positions because I don't think they can relate to the masses of society. Whether we like it or not, when you walk off a college campus to millions of dollars, you are part of the elite. And it's hard for your perspective to be in line with the working class.
Let me give you a pushback. Yeah. You said you grew up poor, but it was a parent's issue.
It was my parents.
Okay, so that's you as an individual. It is the case in point where, let's take a LeBron James, and I'm just speaking in terms of generalities. If you're moving from school to school, place mm-hmm. to place, mm-hmm. that can become a personal issue to that young man that affects him mentally, his confidence. So it may not affect you, but it can affect somebody else who's going through that. So it's not just the parents' issue.
Thank you.
He has to go to school and deal with the fact that maybe he doesn't have the right clothes and kids are teasing him. Yep. No. But that's something that personal him. To him. Best just because it didn't happen to you,
that doesn't mean it don't
happen to other people.
But again, those bad experiences as a child, I'm not sure if they make you a better political. I don't know if it helps your overall political point of view.
Why not? It gives you a perspective of what it is to be at the bottom in regards to not
as
having
a child. But
now you're living in the best of both worlds.
Exactly. Now you know what you don't want. Now you know how to speak to that.
As a child, not as an adult. Voters are adults. Policies, for the most part, should be catered for adults and what helps the overwhelming mass. The experience of going from real poverty, and again, let's just be clear about LeBron. By the time he's 12 or 13, I'm just sorry. Life is completely different. Everybody knew this guy was on track to be an ungodly basketball player. So that little limited experience as a 12-year-old just doesn't prepare
Let me push back real quick. Yeah. For me, I'm going to take personally.
Yeah.
Grew up in the central city of Toledo. Went to Nathan Hale elementary school. We had used books. We didn't have all the stuff that other schools had. I knew we were behind.
Yep.
Okay? I got bused to a junior high school where it was integrated. I had to deal with that. So those experiences to me, now when I'm talking about giving back to the community, shaped my thought process as I got older on why I want to do things. So those things to me stuck with me. So if I were trying to do something politically, I do have a base of understanding what happens in those situations.
And the last thing, because we got to go way over
time. I love this.
There's a bunch of experiences that grown people have from age 21 to 45 that struggle, working class people, that I'm just sorry, you haven't experienced, you have no, and that's the overwhelming reality for most Americans that you have no experience with. Now, I respect your experiences as a child, but the overwhelming, that doesn't prepare you for what the rest of society, working class society, experiences from age 21 to perhaps death. We gotta go.
But knowledge is not just gained through struggle. Come on, man.
I'm Jason Whitlock, he's Marcellus Wiley. Time to put on our thinking caps. All right, we're joined by Duke's Dante Jones and the Ohio State's Iceberg Jim Jackson. As you all know, I'm a journalist, and we've got our resident Ivy Leaguer.
I don't have any water.
Marcellus Wiley.
Bottom of the Ivy League.
Let's take a deeper look at a big issue in sports.
Bro.
Got a special cap for our Columbia grad, Darnell, bring it on.
That Darnell.
Oh, huh?
Oh,
looking real studious with the glasses.
Right. I like that. I can play that off.
I like that.
I could get that.
Let's move to college basketball, where we don't have the biggest amount of time here, where we will see a huge matchup tonight with number one Duke hosting their hated rivals, number 8 North Carolina. Duke has put together one of the more compelling teams in recent college basketball history, led by budding superstar Zion Williamson. The effect of having a real star in sports that's been lacking is clear. Prices to get into the Cameron Indoor Arena tonight are damn near at Super Bowl levels. This is turning into one of the most talked about regular season college basketball game in decades, which leads me to my point. And guys, I'm sorry we don't have the ideal amount of time here, but I think college basketball and the NBA would benefit from requiring the athletes to stay 4 years. And again, before everybody's heads explode, I think the athlete, the top 100 basketball prospects should be paid a significant amount of money. If they had to pay Zion Williams $2 million this season to stay at Duke for another year, it's well worth it for the NBA and college basketball.
I'm going to be quick with this. No, I disagree with you, Whitlock. One, the top-end talent in the NBA, they're not four-year players. As a matter of fact, of the 50 All-Stars over the past 5 seasons, only 4 of those 50 played all 4 seasons.
That's a different era, though, Marcel. If you go look at the all-time greats, they all played more than one season.
LeBron, Kobe, KG, T-Mac.
No, I don't get it. That's in
y'all.
The one and done straight out of high school.
Dirt. Like, it's a lot of dudes. It's almost like if you're still in college playing basketball, we're whispering to you, you need to be in college still playing basketball. You need to get your game up. That's how the game is.
My point, Dante, is that if you go back to the previous eras, Larry Bird, even Magic for just 2 years, Isaiah for 2 years. These guys used to bring their college fan base to the NBA. Yeah. And we need more of that. If NBA really wants to reach its highest potential, it needs the same model as the NFL. Baker Mayfield brings a huge college football audience to the NFL. I wish we could get back to that in college basketball, and that includes paying these guys real money to stay in college.
But you don't take into fact and consideration the things that happen over guys who spend 4 years of college and the possibility of injury or not making it to the NBA and the possibility of picking your talent apart. You spoke of guys that got better as they got in, as over their tenure in college. That's not the case for you being in college. I played with guys that were projected top five pick their freshman year and play two more years, end up being a second round pick. You get a chance to pick them apart more, and some guys get better in college and some guys get worse. Mm-hmm. You just got to take advantage of the ability to make the most money as soon as you can.
It's tough for me because calling college basketball, I want to see the best player, and I want to see him there for a long time. I do. I really do, because it enhances the game. And I agree with you on this. I said this a long time ago. The one and done where it hurts college basketball is the fan base, because when we were playing, they got a chance to see guys 2, 3, 4 years. You developed, I think, a personality in college. But the fan, even if they didn't know, you developed a relationship. And that did carry on to the league. But my thing is, like you, if a young man has an opportunity to go to the league and make money and start his career early, he should have that opportunity to do that, okay?
Make limitless amounts of money.
I'm going to give you a prime example. Greg Oden, okay, he leaves Ohio State after 1 year. Knee injuries. If he stays, he's still going to have those knee injuries. He never gets that contract. No, he's going to have that injury. Wow. That was there anyway. And it was a matter of time before it was going to happen. He could have been in school 2 or 3 years. He wouldn't have been the number one pick. He wouldn't have had that contract, and his life would have been totally different. So that's where the pushback for me comes. If a young man has an opportunity to step up at 18, 19 years old after 1 year, or even out of high school, to take advantage of the free market, then he should have an opportunity to do it.
You can also argue that staying in college longer adds more miles to your body and adds more damage to you.
How? Because playing 30 games over 82?
It's not the games. The way they train, it was more taxing a college season because it's a full, long 4-year commitment. So that's off-season training, in-season training. Then as soon as you finish
that
season.
You don't train in the NBA off-season?
Not like college.
Not like college. It's a grind. They feel like they have you there, and you just do what we ask you to with no perspective of what is supposed to happen. So
you're supported with better resources in the pros. One, you don't have the distractions that are unnecessary. Why am I balancing accounting, wood shop, other classes?
You got jobs in college.
You got jobs.
Why are you developing your mind as a young person? That's just crazy, isn't it?
Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you what, Bruce.
You're developing your mind to make money at the end of the day. You can't make money.
You're developing it for a career.
I wasn't developing my mind just to make money. No, I really wasn't. Because when I was in college, I had dreams of making $70,000 a year when I was 40 years old. That was my dream. So it wasn't about money. It was about developing my mind.
But you know what? It's funny. College is supposed to just build up the hardware for you. So in life, you can apply all software to it and be good. So that's what college is. And that means a lot of things to a lot of different people. If you're a player who has built up the hardware in terms of your talents to the point where you can now monetize it, bye-bye. College, I'm not staying for
you. We're arguing. I'm not arguing that they shouldn't be able to monetize while they're in college.
But you're,
the solution to me is for these guys to make money while they're in college. Real money.
But you're
not
taking
some
away
stipend.
From the ability to make more, like the ability.
I agree, we're limiting.
So what about sponsorship endorsements? Like you're putting a cap, and he has to wear that uniform with that sponsorship, and you get that check.
I'm looking at Zion Williamson right now. He's been the only thing that's happened to college basketball in the last 10 years. He's turned this game into tonight into must-see TV. If we were to pay him next year $2 million and Nike, I think, makes their uniforms at Duke and they kicked in another $500,000, I think that's a fair exchange for this guy.
You'd be limited because
he's limited, but it's not a bad deal.
You'll cut him off for $15 to $20 million?
And you know what? This is not the only thing that happened in college basketball the last 10 years. I remember when Lonzo, 1 year. People were going insane over this
Marcellus.
Dude. Was he a better prospect?
Marcellus.
But there was a mania around Lonzo.
Marcellus.
It's not as
don't
big as
turn like, into LeVar.
Go to LeBron
don't
James.
Don't compare Lonzo what? To this Zion Williams.
Oh, so when LeBron goes to Zion's games, you're not going to talk about Magic going to Lonzo games? I mean, I get it.
Jim,
but we've been
you
here before.
College basketball. Lonzo.
It's not the same.
Thank you.
But it gave what happened, though, it did with Zion, also R.J. Barrett, and also Cam Reddish. It gave the casual fan a reason to watch college basketball early. Because generally, you're not watching college basketball until the football season is over. But because of him and because of all the aura around it, now more people want to tune in to watch and see what's happening with Duke basketball ahead of schedule. So,
yeah.
And so, Dante, let me answer this question.
Wow, we're really going to do that a lot.
LeBron James could have played in the NBA at 16. Do you agree or disagree? He could have played. Okay. He wouldn't have been great. The guy came out at 18, averaging 20 points.
I say yes. Could have played. Point.
So they limited him for his junior and senior year of high school. He couldn't make money.
Yes, because of the ability.
Those
to
are
go.
The rules.
You're absolutely correct. But at 18, you're trying to cut him off from an extra $60 million. Mm. Zion, who knows what Zion's first sneaker deal is going to be? Mm. Because if he's as good as he's going to have leverage in much sneaker.
100 plus.
Let's say you're going to cut off $100 million to give him $2 million. A year for 4 years, 8 to 100, you're capping them off.
Yeah, cap.
33 seconds into the most hyped regular season college basketball game since the Fab Five played at Duke in 1992, Zion Williamson's left shoe blew out, right knee gave out, and all the air came out of Cameron Indoor Arena.
My shoe.
Poof. College basketball's regular season returned to irrelevancy. We were left to discuss whether someone as talented as Mr. Williamson should risk his NBA future playing basketball for championships and giggles. Should Zion sit out the last 2 months of his college career? Before you answer that, I have an even better question. Should Mike Krzyzewski let him play? Why are we putting all the burden on an 18-year-old kid and his blue-collar parents? Why aren't we putting pressure on the most informed and wealthy person in this equation? That's Coach K, the $9 million a year patriarch of college basketball, the former Olympic coach. It's Coach K's job to look out for the best interests of his players. No single individual benefits more from Zion's play than Coach K. Why not ask him? Couldn't you argue Coach K has a moral obligation to sit Williamson as a way of protecting the young man's NBA future and draft status? But let's not do that. Let's keep the focus on the child and his parents. Zion's mom's a school teacher. His stepdad played a few games for Clemson in the 1970s and is a truck mechanic. Let's put them on the hot seat. I say we don't. The situation with Zion provides the perfect opportunity to put some pressure on the people profiting the most off the outdated NCAA system of amateurism. They know it makes little to no sense for Zion to play another game at Duke. He suffered a mild knee sprain last night. He'll recover and be fine. But what happens if he or fellow freshman Cam Reddish or R.J. Barrett tear an Achilles between now and the end of March Madness? An injury like that could severely damage their draft stock and earning potential. I've never understood why we in the media haven't put pressure on Coach K, John Calipari, Roy Williams, Bill Self, Tom Izzo, and the other elite college coaches to fight to end the NCAA amateurism for the truly elite athletes. I don't believe every college basketball and football player should be paid. The handful with definite pro futures, the ones who make a difference with ticket sales and TV ratings, should be compensated at a high level while they're on campus. It's immoral for the top coaches to sit silent while kids jeopardize their economic future for the economic benefit of adults. Coach K should sit Zion. All right, joining the desk now are former Duke star Dante Jones and the Ohio State's Iceberg Jim Jackson. Marcellus, before these former college stars chime in, I'm sure you agree with me that Coach K should sit Zion.
I agree with you that he should be a part of the authority, the conversation in terms of Zion. You should not play another single second of college basketball, but I want to just dispel the myth that Coach K cares more about Zion, therefore he needs to take care of Zion, than Zion himself. Zion has to care more about himself, his career, his future, than anybody else in this equation. But obviously he's been forced to go to the NCAA, go through a year of college basketball to realize his dreams. So then you moved it to Coach K. Hey, look out for Zion, because Zion can't look out for himself because he's forced to play 1 year or be 19. So then why we stop there? Let's just go. NCAA. Oh, we can't stop there because this is the NBA rule. So if you really want to say who should be in charge of Zion in terms of going back to play, it starts from Zion all the way up to the big boys. But I'm not going to single out Coach K because Coach K is just doing his job. He said, hey, I get paid $9 million to recruit the best team I can to go out there, win championships. And, yeah, some things are going to happen in that process. But Zion is making a sacrifice. Coach K is not doing the best he can in terms of player welfare, but he can't. He's forced by job description not to do that. So why single him out? He's not the only culprit in this equation.
Dookie. Dookie.
Listen, I think Coach K should sit down with Zion and have a conversation. And sit down with Zion and his parents and have a conversation about what did he come to Durham, North Carolina for? Was it to fulfill one of his dreams or was it just to go to the NBA and have the platform to boost his draft status? You can't, Coach K can't sit him and be like, you're not playing, even if it's for his best interest, because you never know what's in that that kid's heart. You never know if he grew up wanting to play for a national championship or wanted to play in the Final Four or wanted to go to the NCAA tournament. These are real parts of some kids' dreams. And just because he has the ability to be the number one pick, he does not overshadow the fact that he may have a set of goals and things he wanted to check off before he goes, because it was inevitable regardless. And he has a body that I don't foresee an injury that would stop him. Kenyon Martin had an injury that took him out of college basketball. But he was a product that you could not replicate in that draft. He was a proven commodity, and he was the baddest man in the land. And regardless of the fact, Zion is the baddest man in the land, and he will either be number one or number two pick, regardless if he's hurt or playing.
I'm going to push back a little bit on the Zion piece on going to Duke. The reason why he went to Duke or any other college is because he has to.
Right. He doesn't have to.
Yes, you do.
Because you have kids that have gone overseas or sat out the year.
I know that.
And you didn't have to go to Duke. You could have went to Clemson.
No, I said any college. Okay. The reason why he's in college
is because he has to. Any minor league system.
He has to. let's circle back a little bit. Keep in mind, college basketball is not about the players. It's about the coaches. That's the difference in what we have. So their obligation is a lot different. They see things totally different. It's a rarity that we have in the NBA coaches who can stand toe-to-toe, a Phil Jackson, a Greg Popovich, you know, guys of that nature, a Pat Riley. The NBA is all about the players. In college basketball, it's all about the coaches and administration and the school. Absolutely. So their best interest, they're always going to be there. These kids are going to come and go. Mm-hmm. The coaches are going to stay and be there. They get the Nike deals, they get the contract. So it's in their best interest to continue to do what they do because their value is not being diminished. It only increases, okay, with TV revenues and Nike deals. So that's the pushback. Should Coach K play him? No. No, he shouldn't play him. If he has his best interest in mind, he should not play because he knows he's one in a lifetime opportunity or ability. Why jeopardize that now?
You put Coach K in an impossible situation. Yes, you did.
No, I don't.
You said, Coach K, if you have his best interest in line, play him. But guess what? Before I have your best interest, yours or yours, I have mine. So Coach K has a job.
Hold on, but the question was,
that's by the
question. The question was, should Coach K play?
No.
I said, that's the question. I'm not talking about Zion. Zion should say in his family, no, we're not playing. The question was posed, should Coach K play?
And that's why I said, why single him out? You know why? Because just read the signs.
Because this is the situation.
There's a situation.
No, read the signs right here.
He's got Zion Williamson.
This could be bigger.
And two or three other.
We're not going to stop short of just Zion. Let's read the situation. First of all, God whispers before he yells. Your shoe just exploded. That's a sign that's saying, hey, man, what you doing out there? But I'm going to go to another level, which should happen as well. In the NFL and the collegiate ranks, Trevor Lawrence. I'm talking about the tap out pre-injury player. Like, I don't need my shoe to explode and have a minor knee sprain to realize maybe I shouldn't play. Because before that moment even occurs, you know where your draft status is. You know what relative scope that is. So why don't you just cast that out right now and say, hey, I'm out. Trevor Lawrence is the one that I'm looking at. If you want to talk about Zion, that's amazing. I get it. But Zion had to wait till he sprained his knee to even start to contemplate this, and we don't know what he's going to do with it. But there's another situation that's even bigger than this because another guy is going to be a top 10 pick, if not number one overall pick, and is not injured and still has to play two more years of collegiate football just to get to this place. So I'm looking at this situation saying, yeah, if I'm the coach of him, I sit down and talk to him. I say, here's your pros, here's your cons. But if you're telling me to hold you back, well,
Marcellus,
I would never do that.
Marcellus, and I get some of what you're saying, but I just for the sake of this conversation, I don't want to move to football. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But why can't we, as the media, start putting pressure on the people that are most benefiting from this system that I think is universally agreed upon is outdated? When the Olympics say, hey, we're going to push amateurism to the side, and here we are 20, 30 years later, and it's still here in NCAA college football and basketball when these kids are generating this kind of money, why can't we put pressure on the people directly benefiting? Hey, this system is corrupt. You should do something about it.
We can, and we have. And they have done something about it.
What?
In terms of their voice. I give you a full screen right here, and I've seen it countless times where things like this have come up. John Calipari went on there talking about the one-and-done rule, said kids should be able to go to the NBA out of high school. That's not our deal. That's between the NBA and the Players Association. Don't put restrictions on kids. That was in April.
That's transferring it to the NBA.
Because that NBA is dictating.
Again.
He can't change that rule. That's what he's saying. That's what
the NBA doesn't dictate NCAA amateurism. My argument is here.
Say it again.
The NBA does not dictate NCAA amateurism. They don't allow you in their league. They don't stop the NCAA from paying these damn players now.
But mind you, we don't need to pass the buck to the NBA. Because this man will get paid regardless of the fact. If anything happens to his amateurism status, he has an $8 million
right
insurance policy.
In college
so listen to what I'm saying.
And he should be.
The NBA set this rule. NCAA didn't set this rule. Yes, you're absolutely right. They should be paid. Yes, we should have it.
That's
we should
the
have
conversation.
Okay,
we're
we should having. We should have a we should have a change in the rules, and the coaches should lead that fight to change
thank
the rule. You're absolutely correct.
Okay, thank
but you got to take the kid into it and the kid and the family's goals. While I said Coach K should have a conversation with them, and whichever way they feel is necessary, ride with them, because he shouldn't be in charge of making a decision. Because if the parents vote black, my son wants to play, then we got a different problem. So you can't tell my son what to do. If my son wants to be on that floor and my son wants to accomplish one of his dreams, then you have a problem on your hands. So he should not be able to tell
totally
him what to do.
Deal.
Just like you can't tell AD to sit down right now.
Totally different deal. And I get it. If the kid wants to play, the parents want him to play that bad, yeah, there's nothing Coach K
because
can
the kid
do.
Also
but
said, I wanted to play
Roy
college basketball
Williams,
regardless.
And a lot of these guys I'm going to name, I love them. They're friends of mine. Bill Self, love them. They're making all this money in a corrupt system, and there should be some pressure on them to be more outspoken and to force some change here.
What do you mean pressure on them?
Right.
Calipari's already said this, and you know what? Coach
Calipari
K
said something about the NBA rule.
No,
he hasn't opened his mouth, and there's not one college coach that will open his mouth and say,
Coach
this
K,
NCAA amateurism is a sham.
Coach K has went on record and through action to go from being a four-year program to, hey, that one and done something is something. You know why? They're all trying to undermine what the NCAA is. No more. Let's aim.
Why they got a tiptoe?
What do you mean tiptoe? Did you read that? That's not
but
on his watch.
I think you missed
it. You said it. No, you said it. You have to go through a collegiate system or leave this country to get an opportunity in the NBA. So why don't y'all point it at where it's really directed?
I think that the issue is I'm not hearing coaches say players need to be paid. I'm not hearing that. I'm not hearing coaches say.
I'll find another quote.
Okay, where's it?
You said destroy amateurism. This is a quote directly at amateurism.
No, it's about
the NCAA. No. This is what I'm saying. I'm not saying the NBA.
Coaches have said you should get paid.
No, what? They haven't.
Oh my God. All right. I'm going to Google on.
Coaches said hold up. I'm talking about coaches said that a Zion Williams should be able to get a Nike endorsement. That's what you're telling me? Coaches said that.
No, they said that they should be paid for the services. Now, the way you pay them for the services, it's gonna go out of control because, yeah, if you give them a flat fee, like you said the other day, give them $2 million, then that's still not enough.
Nope.
There is no a number available to pay these kids.
So
we're going to have
So you just don't pay them?
No. You should pay them.
Okay,
but they said that.
The difference between zero and 2 million
it's a big cap.
Not in current value. Correct. Not if you know that you got 8 million sitting over here and you only getting two.
What's the 8 million?
Insurance policy.
But hold up, but the insurance policy, if you can't play ever again.
No, that's not.
If
you slip past the 16 mark.
Oh, you're talking about that one.
His insurance.
Oh, you're talking about that one.
You get insurance policy if anything you want to.
They're protecting his contract.
No, they're protecting his contract. You slip past 16, you get $8 million.
But he's also losing. Also losing too is an opportunity for Nike, and we talked about this, to come in and say, we want to pay you $10, $20 million.
Absolutely.
Right now. Right now. That's what he's losing too. That's what he's losing.
So that's where
if he comes in out of high school and can go right to the league, Nike can sign him right there for $100 million.
Wow, this whole domino effect started with Zion, who knows that he has to go 1 year of playing to turn 19 to go to NBA. Starts with Zion, and it ends with the NBA. But we're going to focus on Coach K. And he's not the first domino, and he's not the last one.
But the question,
but we're going to focus on
Coach
K.
But the question was.
Why not?
Hold up, but the question. Hold up, but the. Hold up, wait, but listen. I think we're missing a point. We expanded, but the initial question was focused on Coach K. Mm-hmm. So that's why we talked about it.
That's why I disagree with you. I respectfully disagree.
Oh, no, that's fine.
I'm going to go to the root and the origin of the question. What he's saying. The question is the problem. Like, Coach K should not be in the question.
In the position.
He should not be in a position.
Oh, yeah. He has to be in the question. No, I'm not saying.
No, it's not.
Hold up, but listen.
But if he's hurt, if you got to look at the injury. If he's hurt, he going to damage him. Coach K should advise him on the best thing to do.
Yeah, let's don't question the people making all the money.
He should make the right decision for the kid and advise him, but you can't.
But no, that's my, I agree with you on that.
I know he will. I know Coach K will give him
the people making all the money.
I agree with you on that.
Benefiting from the exploit. Let's don't question. Got it. I'm glad we got that. That'll work.